Welcome to Stealing As, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're back again, finally back in the studio here, or as Rick Beach would say, the basement. We're here at Quincy Point at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Rick, this is not a basement, this is the real deal. So welcome back, boys. Season 2 kicks off tonight with a special guest that really hits home for most Quincy natives. Feeling pretty good, right? Water tonight. I got work in the morning.
Waters.
Yeah, it's pretty childish of me. But
barely.
Coward.
Yeah, our interview tonight of our season 2 premiere, former ENC baseball coach. He's traveled around the world, well, country, kind of like East Coast. Coach Todd Reed, bleachers, toe the ball, you name it. It was a really exciting interview, probably the one of the best I think we ever did. He led the infamous youth baseball camp called All-Star Baseball Camp, there, where if you're a Quincy resident growing up, probably 15, 20 years ago, you know what that's all about. What did you guys think about it?
I mean, you got, like, in notable Quincy residents, you got, like, two presidents and then Coach Reed. So it was incredible to talk to that guy again.
For me, throughout my 26 years, I think the top three things have been July 3rd, night before Thanksgiving, All-Star Baseball Camp.
Best 2 weeks of the year. Loved it every time.
The guy hasn't aged a bit. I literally, that was like a trip. That was a trip. Anyone who went to Eastern Nazarene Baseball Camp, when you hear that interview, you're going to be like, holy shit, this guy's still alive and he's still the same exact man. It was a trip. He's awesome. I love him. Awesome interview. Yeah, hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, also...
Pardon the technical difficulties. There were a couple. Yeah. Well, he's in Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy was just in his backyard in Tennessee. But also, we'll have our takes on how the NHL and NBA is kind of coming back into play with their new playoff scenarios. And what we've kind of been up to during this pandemic. Our guy Anton will be back in the studio. Kid's pretty loaded right now, but he'll be here for... we're going to give our nice predictions of the UFC 250 fight card. I'll have my bonehead of the week as Steele's got his salute. Like we said, really good interview with Coach Reed here, and here it is. Coach Todd Reed here. How are you doing today, man?
Good, man, guys. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I wish I was with you in Quincy in person, but I love being on the show.
Nice. So what have you been up to right now? It's such a bad time in the world right now, but yeah. what have you been doing to kind of keeping your time? And I know all baseball has been kind of canceled and everything like that.
Yeah. So when I left the ENC, I went to a sister school of the Naz. It's Olivet Nazarenes, an NAIA school about an hour south of Chicago. Some things you might know it for, Ben Zobrist played at Olivet.
Yep.
And then we've had a couple guys drafted there. I made sure I didn't wear it on the show, but one of my players was drafted by the Indians, but plays for the Yankees, and he's in the Yankees bullpen right now. His name is Ben Heller.
Ben Heller, baby.
Steele's a Yankee fan, so it would have worked out perfect.
Oh, all right.
I'm all in.
So I coached there for 12 years. So I had done 10 at ENC. So I coached for 22 years. And this past year, I decided that I wanted it to be like kind of my last year as a head coach. I'd always taught at the college level as well, taught sport management, rec sport fitness.
Nice.
And they asked me about taking over the program as a professor. And I just thought it was the right time. And so I still am coaching, but I'm not. This was my last spring, and my boys took me out. We won the conference championship, went to the national tournament. So it was like they couldn't have scripted it any better. And then my first phone call was to an assistant coach that I had when I was at Olivet, and he was now coaching he was managing in the what's called the Northwoods League. It's a collegiate summer league like the CAPE, like the NECBL.
Yeah.
And he always asked me to come up after he had left Olivet. He said, hey, come up here. You'd love coming up here and coaching this summer. But as you guys know, I was always busy in the summer.
Oh, yeah. things done.
I was always running camps, you know, and recruiting. I just never felt like I could do it. But as soon as I got done, like last year when I finished as being a head coach, that was the first phone call I made. I'm like, hey, man, if you need a bench coach – or as an assistant coach, I think I said, and he's like, come up and be my bench coach. And so I went up last summer, and our team, was a first year team. It's, that's the hat. It's the Traverse City one of the best logos in baseball. Yeah,
you got
Traverse
some, you got
City
some swag out there, Coach.
Bitters.
Yeah.
The wow. Pitts Bitters.
The Pitts
it's
Pitts
the, it's
Bitters,
like the cherry
wow.
capital of the world. But we had a great season last year. We had, you know, our shortstop was from Michigan. We had four Michigan State players. So a lot of Division I guys, but we had a really, really great season. We're looking forward to going back again this summer. And then this hit, obviously. So yeah. mm-hmm. As a professor, to take all these sport management classes and put them online, that wasn't easy. But I was looking forward to going up this summer back up to Traverse City. I just heard this week that it looks like the Cape is canceled.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all done.
Small businesses, people depend on it for their livelihood.
Oh, yeah.
They really wanted to get it, you know, to see if they could salvage the season. So it looks like we're going to start either July 1 or July 15, and July 1 is looking more likely right now. So we might have baseball back in Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota here in the next month. So I'm really excited.
Hell yeah.
I know Pitts Bitters. I remember just like the teams when growing up, there's like specific age leagues in the camp itself. I knew you were a big like minor league guy, but Pitt Spitters, that's like
oh,
an
yeah,
all time.
That's right.
That's a classic. And,
yeah, someone needed to stump you with the hat. Yeah. That would have been a great one. That would have been a great one.
Yep. Oh, man, that would have been a good stumper right there for sure.
So,
yeah.
So let's
spit. Every summer we did something different. We did minor league teams or we did, mm-hmm. I think one year we might have done even college teams or something. It was, yeah, so, mm-hmm. but I try to have fun with that, but.
There were some good ones, too. There was some nonsense. Like, I don't even remember what they were. Like, I don't even remember.
Well, let's, spinning it back to the camp.
Okay, so
I was just saying, just like, how did you, because that was such like a dynamic camp. Like, I never been, like, I did the Quincy Recreation camps, but we never had like set teams or anything. And I don't know, it was just really organized. And it seemed like everyone had a great time every year. Just tell me how you just started like doing that camp, you know?
Well, I got to tell you, I owe a lot of credit to our camp director at the time was Paul Beston.
Paul Beston.
Oh,
he's a G.
Yes.
He's a G.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Name drop.
And Paul was kind of behind the scenes. You know, he didn't do a lot of coaching, but he did all the registrations for me because that's what's tough as a baseball coach. You're in your spring season. And, you know, last thing you want to do is worry about, you know, kids registering for camp 2 months from now, but probably had less games and stuff planned. And I remember Paul telling me, like, these kids just, they love to play. They love to. And so we kind of just, we started moving that direction. And by the end, man, we were, the kids, you know, it was like middle of the week, we'd play like three or four games on that Wednesday or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it just worked out. It just worked out really, really well that way. I know the jugs machines always weren't the best, but that week before creating all those fields with the fences.
Oh yeah, the little fences.
Even the 6-year-olds could hit home runs, you know. So I think but Paul was a big he was on the side. And then several of my players obviously would come back and work the camp, and so I thought we had a blast. Like we wanted you guys to have fun, but part of it too was us just having fun and coaching the kids and getting to see you guys hit a walk off home run, celebrate a home plate.
Oh yeah,
so we had a few
bad flips at that camp, no doubt.
All time moment of mine was I think it was in like a sudden death home run derby, and I hit one to win. And I ran without like no script or anything. I ran all the bases. And I think the entire camp got me at home plate. It was.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Odd.
Yep. Yep.
Stuff you never forget.
You taught us as like young. You taught us as young kids kind of how like what like high school baseball might be like, or even if you made it to college. Like mm-hmm. you taught us as like 10 or 11-year-olds what it was like to play in a big game. I remember waking up and being like, I'm excited to go play my playoff games.
Yeah, today. The playoffs are today.
I'm excited to go win a championship today. Like, I'm not even kidding.
That's,
like, it was awesome.
I remember
as
a lefty, like the little Fenway one, like.
Oh,
light
no,
flight
Fenway.
Balls, like it was all about hitting it over the monster.
I
wasn't trying to pull
one of
a
my
thing.
Favorite,
I think I cried one time when it rained. I was like, I want to play in the playoffs.
Where's your love for baseball come from?
I had fun. I'd be out there that week before just setting up those fields and trying to design it. So, this one's going to be Fenway or this one's going to be Wrigley.
Loved it. Loved it.
Yep.
Where's your love from baseball come from, Coach? Like, when did it start? Is it any reason?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I grew up a fan of every. I loved watching football and grew up with football, basketball. You know, we watched a lot of The Last Dance. Like that was my era watching basketball. So I liked it all. It probably really wasn't until I got to college and was playing college baseball that I really got a bug for coaching and kind of the intricacies of the game. You know, when I was at the college level, I played at another sister school. Like the ENC has like seven sister schools. I played at a different one, and I had a coach who's won over 1,000 games. He's still coaching. And he just instilled some of that in me. You know, we'd walk in before practice maybe, and another team would be maybe softball. We'd be practicing in the gym before us or something. And I'd sit down. As soon as I'd sit down, he said, "Hey, what do you think about that drill right there? You know, is that effective?" And he so those things for me, like he just instilled that inquisitiveness in me and what makes a drill good, what makes this team compete well, you know, what makes this team bond together. Like, see, he was just really good at kind of instilling some of that in me. And so then I loved it. So and it didn't hurt probably that I spent the first probably 2.5 years of my college career on the bench right beside him. So, you know, what was I else going to do?
Learning.
From him, you know?
Sometimes it doesn't hurt to be a bench warmer. Warmer, it's not the worst position.
Yeah, that's what my kids say now. Like, "Dad, you were born to be a bench coach. You know, you warm the bench in college quite a bit." You know?
That's just attacking.
Yeah, how dare they?
Oh yeah.
Did you run any all-star baseball camp like camps like over there, like while at Olivet?
I tell you what, man. So you know they had it. They did it the right way. I got to Olivet, and it's, you know, Chicago suburbs, and I had parents who tell me like, "Yeah, my kid can't come to camp because he has three little league practices this week and two games, and or travel, you know, travel baseball just erupted, right?" And so I was never able to duplicate what we did with the All-Star Baseball Camp, and that was I just think this was unique to your guys' era, like you're the players and their families just kind of committing to that, and like, you just don't see it anymore, just those kind of camps. You know, Joe Walsh, who passed away a few years ago, Joe Walsh at Harvard. One of the things I would always do is I would always go to his camp and be a counselor, a coach for him at Harvard.
Get some notes.
And he ran. And so, so I try to get ideas from Joe Walsh over there at Harvard and bring him to All-Star Baseball Camp some years. But I don't think we'll see that again where that many kids come camp and we have that experience. Yeah.
No, I just like the little things to me. Like I remember the kid, A.J. Turner. Was it A.J. Turner? Kid who played for you?
AJ Turner,
yeah. He was like like the fastest kid we ever seen. That was like Ichiro build ups. We were like, "This guy might be faster than Ichiro." We were like,
"Yeah, yeah, the guy was better than Mike Trout easily.
Yeah, it's funny. Man. Are you a Cubs fan? So we had a tweet that interacted with you in like 2016. I know Ben Zobrist went to the place where you coached at.
Yeah.
But were you rooting them all the way in 2016 there when they won the
You nailed it in the tweet. You nailed it.
Yeah, it was hard not to. I mean, we were Red Sox fans, you know, when we were there. Yeah. You know, we were there in you know, when they won it for the first time, and you know, there in 04. And then we came to Chicago, and my wife's kind of a National League fan anyway. She would always say she just tolerated the Red Sox while we were there, you know. But we appreciate National League baseball. And then obviously with Zobra signing, we kind of just fell into it, and we would go. And one of the cool stories was in 2016, his first year there, we won our conference championship for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And I had been communicating with him, and he said, hey, what are you doing on Thursday? You know, I'd like to have the whole team up. We have a day game here in Wrigley. And so, of course, I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. I didn't even look at what I had planned that day or what was going on.
Do it.
Yeah, it ended up being our team selection show, where you find out where you're going in the national tournament.
Yeah.
So that happened, actually. We were in the family section. So here's, like, Baez's dad and, at the time, Bryant's girlfriend and all that. And then our team, and then we watched our selection show with a laptop in the family section of Wrigley in the third inning. It was those guys will never forget. You know,
that's unbelievable.
That.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. That was really cool. So
a big thing for me. What kind of drew the leave to leave ENC? Like, what are you going to remember most about the Boston area? Kind of two questions there, but it's kind of a lot of information.
Well, I miss the Boston. Boston area every day. I miss the All-Star baseball camp. I miss our summers there. But the one of the draws was just moving back home to family. I was from the Midwest. My wife was from the Midwest. You know, and so it was tough for our family to come see us out there. And so that was one. And the other was that for the first time, I was going to get an opportunity to coach with scholarship money. And you know, so the NAI is not really well known out on the East Coast. Like, people say it, and they're like, "What is the NAI?" But
yeah, Fisher College, I remember there. Yeah,
it's a pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. It's probably comparable in terms of talent wise to Division II.
Yeah.
But we like a lot of the schools have as much scholarship money as Division I.
Wow.
And so that was really fun, being able to recruit with scholarship money.
Yeah, recruiting trips. I bet that was a good time.
And just. You know, so that was a turn and a change for me. But in terms of what I meant, you know, when you get to that level and even up in the Northwoods League now, you're coaching players who, you know, they kind of have it in some ways handed to them. You know, they have, you know, they're playing on big scholarships. They have a lot of amenities. And one thing I miss about being at ENC was guys just played because they love the game. You know, I mean. You know, they're paying to play because they're paying a really high tuition to go to ENC or Curry or wherever. But they're playing because they love the game. So I do miss that. Like, I miss guys that just play just because they love it, you know.
Yeah, like I told you before we came on here, I played a year or two at Curry, and we play in ENC at Adams Field. I'm like, where's Coach Reed? And then I was just like, I think he left like 5-7 years ago. I'm like, I probably would have tried to go to ENC if you were still there.
Absolutely.
I would have recruited you guys for sure.
It would have been a walk right down the street.
It would have been electric.
I can't imagine playing for Coach. I can't even believe what it would be like to like play for you like under actual like things that matter, like under circumstances that matter. Thinking, not
well,
just
the thing
baseball.
Is, Mike, we don't know that side. I mean, he's won a lot of games,
so
you don't know his dark side.
I'm thinking four bandits. I'm thinking four bandits.
I've been tossed plenty of times, even back in my ENC days.
Good. That makes me even more excited.
That's how dynasties are born. Dynasties are born that way.
Can you bring back Easter? Can you bring back baseball camp? Maybe like an adult softball camp, something like that.
Yeah, can you coach our softball?
Please do it.
Yeah, we need a coach for our softball team.
We need you back, Coach.
I do it. I do it, man.
Undefeated season.
Or we'll come to you. We'll even come to you. Honestly, there's so many people that miss you back here.
If you can pay me in some buffalo chicken sandwiches from what's the place down in Quincy?
Pizza Connection?
Oh, shoot.
Please tell me Pizza Connection.
No.
Not Pizza Connection.
Tony's?
No, that's not my place.
Grumpy White's?
Tony's, you guys always used to get the pizza from.
Pizza from Tony's.
Tony's, we always used to get pizza from, yes. But man, there's or some Kelly's roast beef, something. You just got to pay me in that, and I'd be good, you know?
Yeah, we'll get a whole Winnebago of the
consider
campers
it done.
Down there.
Consider it done.
Private camp.
Yeah, honestly, that's a small ask for me, Coach.
Yeah,
we got you.
Baseball's back, what, July 15th, you said? We'll be there.
Yeah. I'll take the pitches. I'll take the pitches mount from Bradley Field and bring it right to you.
Yeah.
Come on up to Traverse City, Michigan, you know?
I've been meaning to get up there.
Yep.
So, yeah, next time we're in town, honestly, can we give you a call?
Oh, 100%.
Grab a beer, maybe?
100%. Oh, yeah.
We'll hit the whiffle. What's that machine called?
The
one he was saying earlier? The whiff machine?
Life flight balls.
Life flight balls, yeah. I've missed those things.
Oh, you could murder those.
I was so
things.
Jacked
was
when
so
I
fun.
Got that. I was like, this is going to change All-Star Baseball camp right here.
There must still be like 500 life flight balls on top of ENC there. Like
Definitely.
I'd like to go up there and see for sure.
Got some wear and tear from
not
some
hitting those
bats.
Things like a mile was like an out, basically.
Yeah.
Like if you got a double, it was just like,
it'd just be flimsy.
Like, had to hammer that thing.
So, Coach, with the MLB situation there, kind of the players in like the league are on both sides. They just declined an offer for like 114 game or something, like that. What do you think's gonna happen? What do you think?
I wish I could. I wish I could give you guys better insight. I haven't. So again, I've one kid in, playing the Yankees organization, and I haven't really talked to Zobrist because he's kind of like semi-retired, pretty much retired at this point. Hasn't revealed, but I don't know what to expect. To me, I'm probably just like you guys, thinking, why can't they get this worked out? You know, why can't they figure out a way? It would just be embarrassing to me if the NBA came back before Major League Baseball, that they couldn't get it worked out.
I think personally, that's the problem for everything, because the NHL and NBA come back during the bright time of the MLB. Yeah. They're going to take all the TV money, and that's what the league's worried about. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that's the reason why they're being pretty hesitant about accepting deals with players, you know? It's going to be interesting, though.
I got a couple minor league guys. I just had a kid last week get released because
that's the worst.
They're thinning down their minor league systems. He was like a fourth year minor leaguer, and other teams again, worried about paying them. The Oakland Athletics,
small market teams.
Doesn't seem right,
Yeah, the Nationals players were like paying the minor leaguers until the team decided to do it.
Cool.
That was cool.
And then David Price had a chump of change to the Dodgers guys, too.
Yeah, he did.
So they're seeing it everywhere. I'm going to get to the fan questions because these were kind of hilarious. So if you talk about the kids growing up on our age, the best player of all time, it's not even close. If you remember Matt Gorham, big kid.
Oh, yes.
Matt Gorham. I got him on Twitter today. Great kid. He ended up playing college ball at Northeastern. If it hadn't been for a couple
Did
Tommy,
really?
Yeah, if it hadn't been for a couple of Tommy Johns, he probably would have gone to ACC, SEC. He was that good.
Man.
He was a player. But he says, quote, "Yeah, I won the home run derby 2 weeks in a row when I was 10. Mike Jay also did too, the upper age. He said, we both got legit prizes week one. But week two rolls around, and all they got was Big League Chew and Gatorade." He was just wondering if you feel bad about that, about skimping them out, or.
Oh man, yeah, we were scraping. Yeah, I wanted to make everybody so happy that first week, so that I could get him to come back for week two. But there wasn't a week three.
You got beat.
It's a smart move by you, coach.
Entice him at all,
Times are tough. Yeah.
Love it. Take this all-star Gatorade get lost.
Shout out to Matt. Great kid there. Yeah.
Beston will just give him a couple Gatorades.
Maybe a free pizza.
I don't know. See ya.
We got another one from my buddy Dave Joyce. Used to go to the camp with us. Do you still have the copy of the blooper web gem video you used to show us all the time?
So this is an interesting, I think there were VHSs.
Definitely.
And when we moved, I did still have them for a while. And then just like within the past 5 years, my wife brought one home one day. She's like, if you ever have a good camp again, here's a bloopers video. It's like a DVD of
no
way. Something like that.
Oh my God.
I miss those days. We used to have, do you guys remember, we called it the theater. We'd go over to one of the big classrooms.
I had dreams
about
that place.
On rain days, we'd do it.
I have dreams about that place.
I thought that was like a legitimate theater for like college. Like, I had no idea. Yeah. I was like,
yeah,
all right,
fellas, that's the biology lecture hall.
We felt like such big shots.
Yeah, I was like, wow, college is sick.
Yeah. I walk into my my first college like class, and it was the same setup. I'm like, I've seen this before. Yeah.
God damn it.
So I think at least like five people asked that question too. So everyone was really wondering about the blooper web gem video.
About the blooper tape.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
And here's another do you have question. Do you still have the blue tarp from the slip and slide?
Yeah. I don't. I left the tarps there, but that has been something that I have just held on to. In fact, we had a couple of hot BP days last year in Traverse City. I've got players out here from the University of Michigan, Michigan State, Bowling Green, which is, you know, going through what they're going through, but
yeah.
A bunch of D1 players, and they come out for BP one day, and I've got the tarp and a hose set up because it's like 85, 90 of BP. I'm like, fellas, as soon as you get done with your swings, give me a couple head first
slides. Let it rip, baby.
All-star baseball camp going from east to west.
Yep. Yeah, beautiful. Yep. Worldwide.
And then I kind of like this question here. I like Terrence Rooney, good kid, another camp, former camper.
Him, yeah.
Yeah. So the economy nowadays, how much would you charge? I think it was like a dollar back then. How much would you charge for a pizza slice?
Oh, man. That is all Paul Best. That was Beston's territory right there.
Oh, man.
But I'd say we'd have to at least go $1.75 on the pizza today. Oh, yeah. You know, $1.75 yeah. a slice.
And that's great marketing because, like, they'll give you $2 and be like, keep the change. Those quarters start adding up.
Yeah, keep the change, yeah. Yep.
Smart move.
I don't care. Harris gave me this $5 bill.
I honestly forgot about Paul Beston until you mentioned him today, but he's equally as important.
I literally have him written down my notes. I would never forget
that. He's equally
that
as important in the whole
group. That mustache
was... Tell you where to put your lunchboxes, yeah. Checking your name off the list.
You guys were the best. You guys were the best. No, yep. No question.
Best 2 weeks of the year. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
So anyone else have any more questions?
Are you still the most elite flip player on the face of the earth?
I tell you what, like your era, your guys' era, I try to take that. And there were some kids, I'd do some camps at Olivet, but I don't know there was anybody better than guys in your era. But I will say this, again, back to like just taking things to the college level. Again, with Traverse City last year, we're trying to, up there, I think it's very similar. I think when I was a head coach at the college level, you get a little bit too serious, take yourself too seriously sometimes. But now that I'm a bench coach, you know, I get to be the guy standing
living
behind
the
manager. And
yeah.
When something doesn't go right, I'm just like, well, I wouldn't have done that, you know?
come on, man.
but I also kind of get to be the fun coach. So during one of our BPs last summer, we created a flip game that I'd gotten. So I'd seen some other coaches doing something similar. But similar to our flip, it's a field. And so you set up a court, almost like a pickleball court. And you've got to use your glove and flip it across the court. And it has to bounce once on that side. And then they have to flip it back. And so we created this this flip game. Just and I thought about those old days.
Oh yeah, the flip tournament was pure electricity.
and me and yep.
I remember. I think it was Bay State games, like junior or senior of high school. Someone started playing it, and I was just like, "All right, like memory lane again. All-star baseball camp. Let's do it." I like not even talking myself up. I kicked the shit out of, like, all of them. And they're like, oh, like, wow, you're so good. I'm like, ask Coach Reed. That's all I said. Yeah.
Flip veteran.
Oh, it was great. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. If you remembered, like, obviously the games, but, like, if you remembered a drill or something like that we used to do, we always used to do, I think it was the end of the first day. You ever remember us playing the giant pickle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I was probably going to ask about that next.
That was my biggest fear is, like, because I knew once we played it once, like, we were going to have to do it every year. But that whenever we did it, I was like, somebody's going to die. Somebody is, you know, some kid is going to... And you know, some 6-year-old would always get run over, you know, at some point in that game. We had to do it. It was a good game.
It's too good of an idea not to do it.
Yeah.
12-year-old me was not letting that 6-year-old.
At least
kid.
A third of the kids kind of gained some experience when they had to run away from the cops in high school. Yeah.
That's true.
All we get at Bradley Field,
nice.
Baby.
Nice. Yep.
Well, Coach, this has been, I won't say once the lifetime experience because we will have to do this again. This was a great time.
Absolutely.
But, Coach, best of luck with everything, coaching. I haven't seen you in over 10 years, man. This has been a privilege to do. And you know what? Playing baseball right now, playing any sports, you know, that's a privilege to do too. So I'm looking forward to getting back on the softball field. I'm sure you're looking forward again back on the diamond. And, yeah, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Coach,
yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. And I love what you're doing with the show. I wish you guys the best of success out there. And if you need anything, I'll always be here for you. Just let me know.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Coach, Coach, can I get a quick bleachers before we see you off?
Oh, yeah. Hey, before we go, everybody, bleachers!
Bleachers! Yes!
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
See you guys.
See ya. What an interview that was. Big shout out to Todd Reed here. The GOAT. Tonight's interview was sponsored by Bravo Pizzeria, located on Washington Street. Great times, man. I got a little pie right here. Fresh out the oven.
She's beautiful, boys.
Live, wow. Live eating?
Mm-hmm.
I can hear that. With these new headphones, wow. I can hear that eating.
It's like a velociraptor taking down its prey.
One rip, everyone knows a tit. Let's go, baby. I'm probably going to give...
Prez is going to come at you for that.
Yeah, I'm going to... I'll give that like a 7.7. It was pretty good. Good stuff.
Also, shout out Mass Music Radio. If you go to Bravo Pizza with any Mass Music Radio gear, you get 10% off any purchase, 10% off. So it's worth it. And also, you're going to look good because all the Mass Music stuff looks fucking good. So make sure you buy that. Make sure you get Bravo Pizza. And Naz, you going to hand over a slicer?
You want a slice? I got you with the slice.
All his, man.
It might. I paid for it myself. No, I'm kidding.
Pardo.
I'll give you money. I don't want money. But no, we shout out Matty Gorham on the during the interview. What did he have?
So Matt Gorham. He wanted us to get shout out to Matt Gorham. He called us. Kenny Nguyen actually called us out a little bit. He was like stealing ass, joining the fun. I planned on giving $1 to Matt Gorham. Honestly, now we probably should give a little more because $1 maybe. You know, it's not enough. Yeah. Matt Gorham's doing a great thing. It looks like he's raised over $2,000 today. He's just asking for $1. Claps to Matt Gorham. Good shit, Matt, honestly.
So
looks
what
like you
it?
Were just having fun this yeah. morning, and then it turned into something. He raised $2,000. All he's doing is sending a postcard from him to a lucky winner, and then all the money's going to the charity of the winner's choice. You can pick any charity. Can be anything. Could be stealing ass. We're a charity, so you could donate to us if you wanted to.
Taking donations.
I think the contest will be over before this is out, so
yeah,
you won't have to donate to us. But, you know, shout out Matt Gorham and let you know you did a good thing. And we will be donating. At least, yeah, we'll be donating.
Great sponsor segment. That had to be a little wild. But, you know, tonight we kind of have some sports news. You know, big come up here. We got the NHL and NBA having a couple playoff scenarios. We'll get kicked off with the NBA. So what they're planning to do, we just got past today. Today is Thursday night. I'm sure you'll be hearing this whenever we get it out. You know, we got a great producer over there, Shlomo. The top 22 teams will play 8 regular season games on Orlando for seeding purposes for the playoffs. Sources told Woj. The play-in format requires a double elimination format for the 8th seed, a single elimination for the 9th seed. You know, joining the 16 current playoff teams are shitbags New Orleans, Portland, Phoenix. Big shout out to Aaron Baines, Sacramento, and San Antonio, and then Washington in the East. You know what? Based on a Celtics figure here, they're gonna play 8 games to get in. I think they're like plus, what was it 1,000?
1,500. I believe.
1,500. I really like their chances, man. I mean, there's no home court advantage. This is gonna be different than you've ever seen before. Absolutely nuts.
I completely agree. Actually, with you at the end saying the home court advantage, the NBA is trying to come up with like hilarious things to like replace home court advantage. Like one of them was like the home team and the higher seed team, like they could pick one guy and he gets 7 fouls instead of 6 before like he gets out.
That's insane.
And there was another one that like the home team gets like first pick on what hotel they get in Orlando. It was like hilariously random things.
What is there just gonna be one game they just play on a slam ball court? You know, like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be intense.
I'm in.
Just Giannis, he'd like go through the rim.
Yeah, that's modern day bad. That'd be sick.
Yeah, if you read the rules, Magic? Do you got any take on this?
I didn't read the rules, but it's gonna make it a lot. Like I think this is a way that any of the seasons that got canceled, this is how they should be operating at this point. You know, the season's already, it's a wash. It's gonna be an asterisk type of season.
Yeah, so whoever wins the championship,
make it entertaining. I don't know what
other than the
Celtics. There shouldn't even really be a question. I get money's a question with all the leagues, but
I think
as long as everyone agrees, which the NBA is the first one to agree. Let's fucking go.
And
I don't care how it ends.
I'm ready for the chaos. I want the chaos so bad.
I could care less how this ends. I hope the Celtics win it, but this is an absolute joke of a... It doesn't count, so fuck
it. Just smells LeBron James all over it. He just seems to get the little wins.
He's going to win. He's gonna,
yeah.
The Lakers, honestly,
they're
the smart money.
Exactly.
They're the smart money.
And it's going to be down at Disney. Those guys are basically going to be on vacation, just golfing every day, outside restaurants. Big shout out to Lake Buena Vista Golf Course.
They'll be down in Miami in between games. It's easy. This is the easiest league to get going quickly. But it's going to be entertaining.
It should be a blast.
If there was a league I wanted to come back first, I would say it's probably them or the NHL. Yeah, so is the NHL guest good to go?
Great transition there, Magic. That was prime time. Because I'd say I'm much looking forward to the NHL. It's going to be a 24-team playoff, 12 teams in each conference. So the top four teams in each conference are going to play a round robin to determine the top seeding. For the Bruins, I like this because they won the President's Trophy. They would have been the number one seed. And the number one seed would have to play Columbus or Toronto, which they've just had problems with in the playoffs. They've won, but like, how many times are you gonna play Toronto until you just eventually lose?
They will eventually lose.
Can someone explain? So the top four are playing round robin. How's round robin?
So they
single
play each other
elimination.
Once.
Yeah, they keep going.
Not single elimination.
No,
just play each other
wrong.
Once.
But,
yep.
Is what I
so 20. Why do the top four teams have to do?
Because
that?
It's
for seeding.
It's the 5 through 12.
Oh, it's just for seeding. It's not like they're getting they get eliminated.
There's no elimination there.
Yeah.
No,
and seeding. Then the other teams are battling another team to make 12, it to the next round, so they play them. So it ends up becoming
that's
eight
also
teams
be
and eight
very
teams.
Interesting.
It's like March Madness combined with like the NHL playoffs, which is like God bless America.
And they haven't released the places where they're going to play, right?
Where? No.
No.
I don't
which
so.
Is pretty wild because the NHL like. They have a lot of games in Canada, so that could just be in, like, who knows, like, Vancouver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
someplace
it's
wild.
It's going to be in Canada. I think Boston's in talks to be one of, like, the later round ones. And not, like, first, like, the beginning, but, like,
bring
later
it back,
on.
Bring it back.
Speak of the crack, I could see some people, you know, get up in there. I'll leave it at that. But, no, I really like the Bruins' chances, though. I think they have a good lineup.
Best team in hockey.
Yeah, I
easily
mean,
the best
David Pastrnak getting up with the tying goals with Ovi, who's, I mean, an absolute legend. Everyone absolutely dogs on Tuukka Rask. That guy, you know, he's been playing every day.
Greatest goalie in Bruins history.
Yeah, actually, this guy who I work with, he lives like North End, like TD Garden area, and he actually saw the Big Z Man the other day. This is a little inside information here, and they said they haven't been able to let him on ice or anything. So he's just been going to like down to Miami and just letting it rip like on the ice. Some like private ice or whatever.
I didn't know on the ice, but he's practicing.
Yeah, practicing.
Good. Okay.
Allegedly, I'm hearing this through the grapevine.
Yeah.
Big shout out to my guy there. I won't reveal the name.
No one should. Good
guy there. But
do we agree that the NHL will be an asterisk as well, unless it's the
Bruins?
Because now Steele doesn't even have a beard for us really to shave. So
yeah,
buddy,
they don't start till like July. This is going to be ready to fucking go by cup time.
Oh, fair. That was my next question. When do these leagues actually get going?
July 31st. The end of July is supposed to be the start.
Oh, yeah.
And
that beard's going
to
be ready to
it'll be so
speed
done
be back, we will
mid-October.
Be ready to go.
All right, so the NHL is a non-asterisk, actually. If the Bruins do win that counts.
Hopefully.
Because it's a comeback. We mentioned this on this podcast before. That Game 7, my head down on the iris just... Absolutely head in whirlwinds.
Should have been at a Wu-Tang Clan concert. We had the Clippers.
We had a seat in the back of the pub getting ready to cut your goddamn beard. And you know what? It didn't happen.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Usually we say it had to happen, but it didn't happen.
It didn't.
On to this year, and it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
In four the entire time.
In four. Impressive. I like it. I'm looking something to look forward to, you know, besides the KBL and
Yeah.
Big shout out to Anton here. What we got? Counter-Strike?
Yeah.
Counter-Strike, yeah. I mean, honestly, this is big. This is big that they're going to come back. And
yeah,
I'm sure the other sports are going to follow that these two just figured it out, so...
Yeah, UFC 2, which we'll get, which we'll talk about later. Big shout out to Jam there, big streaming services. Steele, what did you got?
I was just going to say, very rarely on this podcast am I going to root for the Pittsburgh Penguins. But they are lined up with the 12th seed Montreal Canadiens, and they better win in three, and maybe outscore them 25-0. Like, they need a massive.
I really hope so.
You want them out?
The Canadiens
might be the worst NHL team ever to play a fucking playoff game. Like, they're a 12th seed. It goes to 8 normally. Like, they're the worst team in
it's
history.
It's an embarrassment.
And they can't win one. Can't
hate
give
to
them
see
one.
It.
We're gonna bounce now to Steele's salute. Steele's, you know, we've had a couple months off now from actually doing the studio. I mean, we've been having our fun with the big shout to the StreamYard services. Just canceled you the other day. That was a good time, so good things. But we got our Steele salute
shame.
Back, and who do we got today?
Today, crazy times in the world. I'm giving it up to future President Jaylen Brown. One day he's going to be the president of the United States. I think the Counting Crows tweeted that out, which is really weird. I don't know how they were friends
they
with Jaylen Brown.
That?
Yeah, like their official Twitter one day when he was like 20 was like, Jaylen Brown's going to be the president. And now it's coming out because he drove like 15 hours to Atlanta to lead, you know, like a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
And that's just an incredible thing for a 22-year-old NBA player to take to do. I mean,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Brad Stevens even said like, yeah, we knew we drafted a great basketball player, but we didn't realize how great of a person we drafted too as
yeah.
well. And I mean, for him to make that trip up, is he an Atlanta native? I don't know.
He went to Cal. So
yeah, he went to Cal, so who knows?
But I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know
he
from.
Could go wherever.
We should know that. Should I Google it real quick?
Well, now that you brought it up, you might as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, no, I know.
Now you did it. Might as well.
I'm honestly, now I am interested why he went down there, but honestly, shout out to Jaylen for doing that. And
yeah. Black Lives Matter.
Black
you know?
Lives
well,
Matter.
Especially,
it was, a big deal when he showed up there and Marcus Smart in Boston, Inez Kanter.
Yeah. For a young
Boston.
Pro athlete to do that in a city that ain't even the team he plays for, which is probably why he might be from Atlanta.
That's why I. He's got it.
Yeah.
I feel embarrassed.
But either way, that doesn't matter. Like, where he's from, like, regardless, it's just an incredible thing to do.
Yeah.
He was born in Georgia, yeah.
Oh,
Georgia. All right.
He's from
Georgia.
That
come
makes
on.
Complete
there
sense.
Is,
and honestly, Atlanta's handled it. Atlanta's been one of the best cities handling the whole everything. Everyone who's been paying attention to the movement knows that they're doing very good. They're doing very good with the
speaking of people doing really well with it, you know, Quincy had their protest march the other day, and, like, everything was smooth sailing. So big shout-out to Quincy really going out there and
proud of Quincy.
Getting the
City
job
of Presidents,
done.
Baby. Proud of getting
Quincy.
It done.
Yeah, big time.
And, shout-out to the Black Lives Matter movement, because what happened to George Floyd fucking sucks. That's not right. I wish I could say that better. I don't know. I don't know. I wish I had a better way to say it. I'm going to eat a slice of pizza. It is an uncomfortable thing to talk about, but I'm here talking about it, and it's been an uncomfortable week, but we're here with you. We're here with you. Steele and Naz, Magic Mike, we're here with you.
That was very well said, Magic. Really like your words there.
Nick.
Yeah. Crazy times in the world now. It's really tough when a COVID virus or something is overstocked in the headlines by, I mean, it's good that the people have, like, stood up, but such a horrible tragedy happened last week there in Minnesota, huh?
Yeah, it's a perfect storm. It's bad.
Indeed it is.
People are mad, and they're showing how they feel, and they should show how they feel, and shout out to everyone supporting the good cause, and also shout
against
out
the
good
the machine,
cops.
Brother.
Shout out, you know, there are good cops. We're not going to sit here and we're not going to bash cops because there are good ones. We're friends with a good amount of cops, so it's not, you know, we're not picking sides or anything like that. But just everyone needs to fucking raise the expectations of how to be a human being.
Be better.
That's how. Be better. Be better. That's the message tonight. Shout out to Jaylen Brown. He's doing it the right way, and that's the steal. So that's why he got the steal salute this week.
There we go. That big one right there. Oh, on a turn of events, my bonehead of the week this week, which will lead into kind of our UFC episode here. I'm going to go with the pretty boy piece of shit, Cody Garbrandt. So last summer I had, you know, a bunch of people over watching UFC fights. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a good time. Cody Garbrandt, undefeated, 11-0. I'm like, this guy taking down his boy TJ Dillashaw, where, I mean, we'd have to have another whole episode for their little confrontation between TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt. But long story short, they were in the same camp, were best friends, ditched away. And you know what? Ugh. I was up 500 bucks, put a full 500 bucks on Cody Garbrandt, undefeated, gets knocked the fuck out. I haven't used a lot of F-bombs tonight. Had to use it there.
Was that round one? I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm pretty sure that was round one.
Listen, I really don't remember. I was so pissed off. I just have people.
I think it was late round one. Yeah.
I had people laughing at me that I lost the money.
I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, big shout out to Tim McCall. That's my boy. But I just told him that he was making fun of me. I told him to get the fuck out of my house. He left.
It was one of the greatest tear drinking sessions of my life.
Is he the bonehead of the week because you lose money on him? That's
essentially.
He's an asshole. Not just that, he's an asshole. He's a piece of shit. Cocksucker too. Yeah, I keep going.
Because he loses you money though, or because for actual?
No. The day. Okay. Well, I was gonna wait until we got the fights going.
I might bet on him this weekend.
I was about to say in my notes I have the other guy as well, but I might be going with Garbrandt after this.
No,
fuck him.
Yeah. And I was gonna mention when we bring up these fights, but the first two times he fought Dillashaw, I bet on him, Garbrandt both times, lost both times. Then I'm yelling. I that's when I gained this hatred, and I was like, nice. He's gonna lose the next fight he fought. He lost. I forget who we fought. He lost. I think I have it in my notes right here. Pedro Munhoz.
Yeah.
And he got pieced up. Bet on Pedro. Had a big payday. And I was like, yeah, I'm sticking with this. I hate Cody shit.
That was also round one, I believe. Take it down.
Yeah. His chin is just gone. He's looking like an East Milton kid in a seventh grade middle school fight.
Getting tuned up, yeah, wrong side of the.
Yeah, shout out to East Milton. Yeah, we've made peace since then.
I don't
still
know.
Still BK.
Yeah, they might not be. There might not be peace. There might never be peace.
Yeah, catch me at Andrew Park. How about that? So now, yeah, we'll break it down. UFC 250 this Saturday night. I believe it's in Las Vegas. We're going to preview the last three fights, and then whoever else wants to bring up anything else. I know Magic Mike here has been a big UFC avid since his big come up at the Jam, the live streaming service. You guys should really tune in. It's a great time to watch.
Tune in.
We make some guest appearances, but you know what? We let them do their thing. They do a good job.
I join the comment section from time to time.
We always are hoping you guys will come in there, because I know Steele's a big UFC. Like, it's an open invite. Like,
I was going to last week, but I ended up going to a friend's house and just got plastered. It got out of hand.
If you think I enjoy streaming at 6 o'clock to midnight on a Saturday, like, I was fucking hammered the last one.
Well,
I was blacked out the entire stream.
Well, at least like a month ago, you couldn't really leave your house, and now this is starting to become some leeway. No,
exactly.
That's when it's getting a little tricky.
Now it's becoming like, okay. But now we're betting big money, so it's kind of making it. Yeah, it's a fun time. I'll tell you that much. The chat's fucking amazing. That's the best part. There's a bunch of degenerate gamblers in there, and there's a bunch of UFC lovers. So it just ups the UFC experience, in my opinion.
Yeah,
like, I didn't give a shit about the
and
UFC.
And Anton's just become the focus point of like the gambling world.
Yeah, there are just like his
a little
picks
bit, yeah.
and the answers. Yeah, they are.
People enjoy watching him like say he knows what he's doing, and then he loses a ton of money, or he wins. It goes one way or the other.
That's a, guys like Stu Feiner.
Shout out Gutterballs, James.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out
Trainer James,
the trainer. Trainer James. James Askins. Shout out James. Yeah. He's fucking on the show, and he's electric. And he went 6-3 last week on bets, and I can promise you
that's
betting a heavy. He's betting heavy this week. He's betting heavy, and he's doing his research. So you're probably going to want to tune in as far as like if you want to win some money this Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to get into the third to last fight here. So we got Aljamain Sterling, 18-3, versus Corey Sanhagen. And that we got an 18-3 guy against 12-1. It's basically an even payout, both minus 110. You know what? I'm going to share mine first. I got Sterling over Sanhagen. So Sanhagen's won 7 in a row. I've done my research. They nicknamed him the Funk Master. Yeah. Even without watching anything
that's
else, I'm like, it's over. Yeah, it's over before it even started. 7 in a row, though, that's pretty impressive. Guy looks like an absolute beast. He said that it takes a lot for a fighter to admit their losses. And who's the Khabib's guy, the Zabit guy.
Zabit? Yeah, like,
He came out on a podcast, like, a couple of weeks ago. He's just like, yeah, that guy straight up just knocked me out during a sparring match. I'm like, anyone who just comes out and say it, I got respect for, because they've knocked some dudes out while they've gotten knocked out themselves. That's a true veteran.
No, Sterling's a great Twitter follow as well. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Good to know. I am going to follow
that's, him. This is my favorite fight on the card. And, I think they're both absolute beasts. I'm taking Sterling as well because I like the way he fights. He has like a weird, like he moves around strange. And I mean, they're both on a roll. But at the end of the day, I really want to see Sterling fight Peter Yan. And this is like...
This is the go card. If I win, I'm in.
Yeah, and then Yan has to beat Aldo, which I think he can do.
Yeah, so. That's a similar thing with like Gaethje. When Gaethje won, it's like he's probably going to fight Khabib.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was an awesome fight.
Yeah. Magic, you got a take on this fight? Or
I haven't gotten this far in my research. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm very new to the game. I got no takes.
No, but either way.
Who's the Funk Master guy?
Sterling.
I'm most likely betting Sterling.
Yeah.
For that name.
And that's some good marksmanship right there. He's waiting until this live stream on Saturday to release his pick. That's a guy right there.
Yeah, I'm not. It's fucking only Thursday. I'm not gonna give my
Yeah, what if he breaks his pinky tomorrow, you know?
The weigh-in just happened. Not to mention there's a whole lot of people I gotta talk with Degenerate Gambling Twitter before I just go with whatever Anton's telling me to pick.
Let's hit the second fight here. So we got Rafael Inacio. We got 27-7, 37-year-old absolute veteran, plus 15, I mean, against a piece of shit. Okay, we got Cody Garbrandt, 11-3, minus 135. Cody's the favorite here. He's been the favorite in probably the last two out of his three fights. You know what? For obvious reasons, I'm going to go with the 37-year-old that, you know, he beat Rob Font a couple years ago, but it could
this be... This will be the time.
It could be you fighting Steele. I would probably take you, even though how much I hate you.
Fair enough. And because of that hatred, I'm riding with Cody Garbrandt. I have officially decided on Cody.
Yep. I'm with you still.
Fuck him.
Good.
I'm honestly with you.
Good. I'm going to drink those tears. Might have to make a $100 bet with Nats just to get that $100 bill. No Venmo, cash only.
Cash only?
You can't hide.
Yeah, I'll wipe that shit up my ass, whatever. Yeah, pretty messed up. But no, like...
Take it easy.
Brass tacks here, like, I think Garbrandt's, like, chin's done.
His chin is, like, they don't see it's done.
And, wait, did you say who's younger of the two?
Garbrandt, by far.
By miles.
Like, by almost a
Garbrandt's
decade.
Probably, like, 30.
So what's Garbrandt's problem? Like,
his chin, he can't take a
you
chin.
You just don't like him because he lost you money, be honest.
I mean, I seriously think his chin's gone. Like,
he didn't look good.
The veteran, was it the Canadian guys at McDonald?
Yeah, Rory McDonald.
Last time he fought, his chin just went.
And yeah, that guy crumbled.
I noticed the same thing. I'm like, you know what? I think his chin's going. I think he was 11-0 to start out. If he loses one more, he's done.
He's done, yeah.
I mean, he's already almost done, but he's got
I was saying that after he lost the last one that he was done. I was saying
he could start on the comeback trail Saturday, and he could get into my better likings, but definitely not Saturday night. I think his career ends up, you know, put him back to wherever he's from. You know, not in Tennessee where Coach Reed is. He's probably someplace else that sucks.
Still, do you truly believe he can win?
Gonna have to.
Right. Do you truly believe or are you just going against Nats?
A fantastic comeback story. He was a former champion. He's only 28 years old. The comeback's on.
Okay. I'm going to ride
him. I also hated him for a bit because he had a big beef with TJ Dillashaw, which is who he bet on him against. And I love TJ Dillashaw, so like... That was my beef with Cody Garbrandt.
I didn't like, after that fight, I didn't like either one of them. And then TJ Dillashaw went down to Henry Cejudo, right?
And got pummeled.
And then I was a big Cejudo guy. And then Cejudo just retired in his prime. And I'm like, you ain't no Jordan, dog. Like, keep going. I don't understand. He'll be back. UFC fighters do that all the time. They come back for like extra three fights. Look, I mean, I love GSB. He's one of my favorite fighters of all time. He's been back. You know what I mean? He's been in fights.
That's true.
So... The main event, which usually I'm not, like, too intrigued in a main event when it's, like, females fighting, you know what I'm saying?
Amanda Nunes is, like, must-watch TV,
But Amanda Nunes is much-watch TV.
Yeah.
She's 19-4 here, standing up at a minus 600 favorite. Like, unbelievable
Do
odds.
Do we bet that?
If you're just trying to win 100
bucks. Yeah, if you want 100 bucks, you might
I know,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anton said that to me earlier. I was like, quick hundo. Like, she's gonna win, yeah?
Yeah. No chance. And Blake Godwin's going to score a touchdown on the first drive.
No, I'm a huge Nunes fan. And, like, Like, long before the fight happened, her and Cyborg, I was like, Nunes is absolutely going to pummel Cyborg. I was like, she is just so beyond everything. So I was going to pick her anyway. Yeah. But then I looked up Felicia Spencer, born and raised in Montreal, and like, let's go. All out war now. All out war.
Team Brazil. Nunes in Brazil.
Oh, deep in Brazil, yeah.
One thing for Felicia Spencer. Anyone who likes betting on underdogs, like plus 400. So they each fought Cyborg, who, I mean, I'm not even going to comment what she looks like. But
Cyborg.
Yeah.
That was a beatdown.
Yeah, Cyborg. She, first round knockout from Nunes. Like, that was electric. Pummeled. I remember my buddy went out for a cigarette right before the fight like an idiot. Comes back, the fight's already over. Anyways.
That's the worst.
So Felicia Spencer.
It was not me, but.
Felicia Spencer, 8-1 right now, only lost to Cyborg. So she took 122 strikes from Cyborg and did not go down. That's impressive. That's called resiliency. But what I see is just Nunes is too big of a beast, and it's going to end early. I think this could be a first-round KO.
After Nunes, because she obviously is like the knockout artist, like she absolutely hit Cyborg into the sun, pummeled Ronda Rousey. What Nunes did in that last fight versus Duranda, she just like worked her on the ground the entire time.
Yeah,
and
she
shows like,
you
if
everything.
She can do that too. Like this woman's fucking.
It was like seeing. It was like seeing.
Like,
Khabib.
That woman's a monster.
It was like
no way she can. Lose.
There's no weakness. Like there's just nothing to do.
It kind of reminded me when Khabib fought McGregor and he was just pummeling on the ground, and the next round he's like, "All right, let's stand up," and he just started socking. Like that's McGregor's game. His left hand is probably one of the best of all time. And then he beat him up so mad, then he took him to the ground and finished it. But what I'm trying to compare here is she's got both games. She's got the whole nine yards. I mean, Ronda Rousey probably had one of the most dominating runs of all time, but she's in female combat history, but she's on her way. She's there.
She beat Ronda Rousey and Cyborg in like a combined minute and 40
seconds. Yeah, it's insane.
Damn.
Like, that's crazy. Like, those are probably the second and third.
So it'd be very stupid to, like, be the wise guy, like, trying to get the underdog money on this.
No, my bet would be.
Can always do that. Can always do that.
But don't do it.
But this is what I don't think. Don't put too much money. Throw, like, 50, maybe 25. You know, keep it low.
My risky bet would be, like, Amanda Nunes knockout in the second round.
Yeah, that.
Second round.
Prop bets for any, like,
first round
for any
easy.
Real degenerate.
Second
like,
round, you'll win a little bit more money,
first,
I feel
like.
Round,
I'm getting
like
deeper in there.
I don't have the odds in front of me, but that those are the last
Why
three
would they
fights.
Make that the fucking head, the headlining fight if it's just such a lopsided fight? I don't get that part.
Well, because she's a champion and Felicia Spencer's kind of deserves the title shot. And Cyborg left. Otherwise, it would probably be Nunes, Cyborg, but Cyborg completely left UFC in general.
Got like kicked out. I'm
kicked
pretty
out.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I forget the story.
I don't know for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I think
I
Dana White
picked
was like
the
get
main,
lost.
The main fight, but yeah, it just seems weird.
Well, you mean
like
on a card? You're saying
Nunes is
must
watch
TV
though. That's one of their bigger draws.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So
I'm
like,
looking forward to watching her fight. But yeah, it's not really a great bet unless you're gonna do the prop bet shit.
Yeah, we've promoted it, but tune in. Jam this Saturday night. What time you guys usually start at?
We'll be there 6 to midnight.
Prelims,
baby. You guys, like I said, open invite. You guys,
anytime
throughout the night that you want to hop on for a fight, fucking get on, please.
I might join for the Sterling
Sandhagen
fight. I might join in on
that. Yeah, So pay attention to look out for Stealing Naz on Jam. We're trying to all work together in a way. I hope
absolutely anytime, any place. Well, folks, you know. Wanted to thank you guys for tuning in, man. It's been a great experience getting back in here during these tough times. Big shout out to Shlomo, Bo, and Mass Music Radio for letting us in here.
Yes, I've
had a great time. Absolutely. Big shout out to Bravo Pizza. Shout out to Matt Gorm. We really appreciate Coach Reed. That was like my favorite interview coming on the pod there. That was great.
Legitimate honor to talk to them.
Yeah, season two is just getting kicked off. We're going to have a lot more guests come on the show. Hopefully get them more in studio so we don't get the Skype going so we get a little bit better connection for you. So get ready, folks. You know?
We're back. Sports are coming back. We're back.
Oh, it's going to be pure electricity.
Not tonight. Yeah.
Not tonight.
Irish pub coming back.
We'll see you in 2 weeks, folks. That's all from Stealing Naz, Mass Music Radio, Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Be safe. Have a good
one. One love, baby. One love.